Welcome everyone to The Immigrant's Journey. This is our space for growing and learning about Ireland's immigrant population and immigrants abroad. I am your host, Carmen Netta, and today we have with us Tatiana, who's living in Ireland for 3 years and has turned her passion for dance into self-healing by using it to promote self-esteem and women's empowerment. Tatiana is currently focused on her studies in dispute resolution and works in the hospitality industry, which is often a challenge when studying full-time. And I totally feel your pain because I'm in the exact same boat. Tatiana, you are so welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Always, I like to get a little bit of background on my guests. So I'm going to ask you about your time in Brazil before you came to Ireland. What was it like growing up there and what made you want to move abroad?
Okay, so I am a journalist. So I studied journalism and I was working in a magazine over there. So in some point, and we were talking about this before, internet has changed everything. So it was difficult to be working in the in newspapers and magazines. You know, my the company I was working by the time, it was going through some difficulties. And in some point, I was like, okay, what I'm gonna do? I have to create a plan B. So the first thing that came to my mind, I always wanted to live abroad, and I had a friend who had lived here in Ireland, so I was like, oh, okay, I think it's time for me to go to see the
world. What's happening there? What's happening in Ireland?
So I know that it's easier for a Brazilian people to come here in terms of visa and everything. And I had this friend, she spent 2 years here. And it was like, okay, if you want to work and study at the same time, I think it's a good place for you to go. People are friendly. I think it's that's herself saying to me by the time. People are friendly. I think you'll be good. So go for it. So, okay, I'm gonna give a chance.
And so you did.
So I did, yeah.
What did you find was the most difficult obstacle in terms of being an immigrant in Ireland when you first moved here?
So when I first moved, I don't think I realized the troubles I was about to face. It. I was I'm a very optimistic person, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna be grand, as they say. Gonna be grand. I'm good. So I found a job in my second week, and everything was being good. I was going to I was studying digital journalism by the time. It was a level 6 course.
And you were studying that here in Ireland?
In Dunleary.
In Dunleary,
yeah. So I was pretty much happy with that. But then afterwards, when I realized that, you know, there's always a struggle regarding money. We have to save money in order to renew the course or find another course and things like that. And sharing the room with two more people. And, you know, even if one of these people, Juliana, she's one of my best friends, you know, but it's hard when you don't have a place to be on your own, like your proper room and things like that. So that was the first challenge for me.
Initially, were you sharing a bedroom with another person or just a house?
I was sharing the bedroom with two more girls.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, it is. Like, they're lovely, you know. We didn't have any, if you ask me, any confusion, any trouble, we didn't have any. But at the same way, I had my space in Brazil. I was in my comfort zone there.
It's hard to give that up, isn't it?
It is. And many times I thought, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here?
Exactly. I had to find there. Why have I moved?
Like, I had a career. I had, like, a house. I had my bills were under control. What am I doing here? But I think now I know. I think I found out.
Has there been any shifts in the way that you think about things that have enabled you to push through resistance and obstacles and help you succeed here?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I think that I recognize now that I am the only one responsible for my life, for my failures, for my success and everything. You
did
know?
You feel like there was a safety net in Brazil that you just didn't have here?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Family, especially my mom, you know. So it's pretty much myself and my mom. And she has been always there for me. But it's different when you live in a different country, you know? You don't want to concern your parents.
So true.
Yeah, you don't want to. So I have been pushing myself a lot because I now recognize that I am in control of my life. Yeah. So this is the first shift in the way I used to think and now.
Yeah, it's really good. It's interesting, like, depending on your background experience, you'll have different ways of dealing with the world. Like, the way that I grew up, I never had the notion of anybody else taking care of me. Because I saw how independent my mom was. Like, she had no support from my dad, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking before we started recording. She had no support from the church either. And she had little support from her family just because my father isolated her. So I always saw my mom as a very independent, get on with it kind of person.
Yeah.
And this was always my model for what a woman does. Yeah. So I never had... in the back of my head, somebody else is going to take care of me.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes when you do have that care from your parents, being on your own is really a bit of a culture shock. It's like, holy crap. But I mean, there's plus and minuses to both. Because I'm terrible at asking for help. Like, if I ask you for help, it means I'm fucked. Like, I really cannot cope anymore. Because I'll try as much as possible just to deal with things on my own and just get on with it. But sometimes it's not the best strategy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you struggle more than you have to just by, like, oh, I don't want anybody to perceive me as weak or incompetent or needy or any of those things that you feel like... other people would be turned off to it.
Yeah.
But sure, if somebody's your friend, they're going to be happy to help you. So to balance that out, that independence with interdependence can be very tricky.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're mentioning that because back in Brazil, it's different the way you can rely on people when you have like plenty of rights, you're a citizen. So that's different. So over here, I know that I can count on my own. Many of my friends, I know they are true friends, like for the good and the bad times, but at the, on the same way, I know that they are struggling themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So you feel bad imposing because, like, you've got your own problems. I don't want to burden you more than
that's
what
it.
You're dealing with.
That's it.
So I think that's something that changed in my mind. Even if I know I can rely on people and I can count on people, they have their own problems too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important to be aware of it.
So you feel like living abroad has made you more independent?
100%. Yeah,
100%. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it.
It's nice to feel self-reliant, isn't
it? Even if you were talking about your mom, and my mom, as I said, like, so... I don't actually like this term, but she's a single mom.
Yeah.
You know, so she's so independent. And as we were talking earlier, I remember being at home by myself by the age of 7, 6 years old, because my mom was working 12 hours a day, you know. She's so independent. But at the same time, I know that I was being a bit, like, overprotected.
Yes.
You know, because I'm only child,
right.
And I'm her baby, you know, this kind of thing. I still talk to her and I realize that I notice that she doesn't realize that I'm a grown woman sometimes, yes. You know, but it's been good, I think, for the both of us.
How does she feel with you living here? Is she lonely or does she have a good circle of friends back at home?
Yeah, she's very active. So my mom is a nurse and she's very, very active. She always had like 2-3 jobs. Like this crazy routine. And I think I don't know if it's something that she's hiding because she wants me to stay. She says that she wants me to stay. That's why she's like, oh, things in Brazil, I don't want to talk about politics right now. Yes. She's like, oh, things in Brazil are complicated. So do what you, that's her main speech. Do what you think it's better for you. You know, and I'm gonna be here to support you, but at the same time, you know, we have this strong connection.
Yeah.
Most of the things I know now, like solidarity, being respectful, arts. So my mom taught me about this. You know, we have this strong connection. But I think we're doing good with the distance as well.
That is pretty good. Has she come here to visit you?
Yeah, probably in May. Because I'm going to graduate.
Oh, so she's coming. She hasn't been here yet.
No,
oh,
she
brilliant.
Hasn't. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So you're graduating this May?
This May, yeah.
So I'm not graduating. I'm finishing university.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barbara.
Play to you.
Do you have like a daily habit or practice that you feel contributes to your success?
Yes. So I am very anxious by nature. So I just realized, and I've been to therapy, which is brilliant. I will recommend this for everybody. If you, I know that some people can't afford, but if you can, like, give it a go, because it's
20
it's
euros,
amazing.
My mind, if you're unemployed or full-time student. I keep preaching this like every other podcast, but it's there. People of Ireland.
So what I do every day in the morning, and I know that this is a different, a very new habit. In the past, I used to look through the windows like, oh, crap, rainy days, you know, like complaining since the first moment. It's like, okay, embrace it. You're in Ireland.
Exactly. It is what it is.
It is
what
it is.
You have rain, but you have gorgeous green.
Exactly.
You could be in a desert right now.
Yes. Yes. You said, yeah, well said. So I just keep telling words to myself, like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a good day. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And as we all have like many issues, many little things to be solved through the day, I used to be very anxious about this, like, oh my God, I have to do this, I have to do that. And now I just prioritize the things.
What can I do now?
Exactly. If I can solve it now, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and solve it now. If I cannot, put in the drawer.
Exactly. Tomorrow's problem.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes me so relieved, you know. And the other thing is stretching.
Stretching, okay.
Stretching.
Do you actually find that, like, that's a stress reliever, stretching?
It is, mainly because now I work, like, sometimes I spend 10 hours standing on my feet.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that many of my friends do pretty much the same, and they don't stretch. It's like, come on, it's 5-10 minutes, your body needs it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'm not talking about yoga or like hard techniques.
Yeah.
You know, just stretching for 5-10 minutes. Find a video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Grab your hands behind your back, yeah. Bend forward, that kind of way.
Exactly, yeah. Simple and efficient.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I find that stretching helps me a lot as well. And as I'm getting older, everything is getting a bit stiffer and a bit tighter.
Yeah.
So just keeping everything limber is really, really good. How do you deal with failure?
As I said,
tears.
Tears.
It's a great way to relieve stress. It's like laughter.
Yeah.
Like tears is like the opposite but equal stress reliever.
Yeah, my personality is kind, dramatic.
It's nothing like a good cry.
I cry a lot. But as I said, I just allow this feeling to last like 1 day. 2 days maximum. And because I've been through things before failure, I've been exposed, as many of us, to failure before. Now I learned that it doesn't last.
That's
forever.
Right. It's just a phase.
So after the second day, like, okay, get up, things to be done. Get back in course. Let's just create a new plan B, C, D, E, and keep going.
Because life really is making it up as you go along. You try this, doesn't work, try that.
Yeah.
And eventually you figure it out.
Yeah.
It's what we do as human beings.
That's it.
What do you feel has been your greatest achievement since moving to Ireland?
Oh, I'm in love with college. I love being in college again. So pretty much like you, right? It's so good because that was my main aim. So I came here, I've done this digital journalism course, and then I studied English afterwards. And people, when I was asked, oh, do you want to stay here, what do you want to do, I say, I don't know, but I really want to achieve a level of English to be able to do a master course and related to humanities.
Yes.
So now that I'm doing, I'm so grateful, and people have helped me a lot as well. I'm very grateful, I'm very happy, and I really feel that I'm in a right path.
That's
something that it's giving me some satisfaction.
That's great. Yeah. So you're studying conflict resolution.
I am.
That is super interesting. What made you choose that course, and what has been some of the insights that you've gained since you began studying?
Dispute resolution is pretty much related to non-violent communication, yeah. So I've studied journalism, so I love communication, and I was, since I moved, I was very into, and actually therapy gave me this perception as well, how powerful the speech is and how we can change the world through the speech. So I found this course and I was like, okay, I'm not sure if I can afford or not. But then I talked to my friends. My friends helped me a lot with, in terms of the practicality of things like money and everything. Okay, we can do this. Oh, I'm going to lend you this, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then in the end, I had the money. I was like, okay, I'm going to go for it. And I was not sure if I was staying here in Ireland because this was a watershed. Like, okay, I don't want to stay to do something that I don't like it just because I want to stay in the country, you know, like,
yes.
Yeah, even if Brazil, like, that situation is not that good, I really want to build something. I really want to have, like, a perspective,
yes.
You know, not being stuck at the same, in the same place. And then afterwards, when I started the course, I just realized it's way more important than I thought, that everything is related to the way we talk to people, to communication.
Absolutely.
We don't have to agree, but we totally have to understand that people come from different backgrounds, different perceptions, different realities.
Yes.
So what is right for me is definitely not right for everybody.
Exactly. I was just studying before you came along for one of our modules. It's on social psychology, and we have this debate. And one of the topics is intergroup conflict inevitable? Which is a really interesting topic to explore, because it seems like when groups of people get together, we're always in conflict. I mean, Brexit is a great example of that. But on the other hand, human beings have also this innate need to cooperate and to unify. Like if we think back in human history and times of hunter-gatherer, it's our ability to work together that has expanded our intelligence and expanded our need for one another, so much so that if we're isolated, we suffer more than any other way, because we need one another and we have that.
Yeah.
Even though we come from different perspectives and we see things differently, we also have this pull towards cooperation. And it's really interesting to see how this yin and yang plays out in society and the kind of the insights that you get from social psychology and evolutionary psychology, these two opposing things. But it is when we have this notion of listening and listening with respect and not thinking you're always correct, peaceful communication, intergroup cooperation, all these kind of things, they facilitate our desire to listen to one another and not to prove that the other person is wrong.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the case in a lot of the things that we witness in politics, unfortunately.
Totally.
Super, super frustrating.
One of the things we hear a lot in college, in every module, my lecturers are like, let's talk about active listening.
Yes.
Active listening, which is most of the times, and we are pretty much like that in some, you know, in more, how do I say, like in a more advanced way or in a less advanced way.
Yes.
We tend to respond, to be responsive.
Yes.
So when we're talking, we are not actually
listening.
We are just preparing the answer to prove our
points.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I can say that nonviolent communication is not only a professional path, but it's a personal path as well, because I've been learning a lot how to listen to people instead of just trying to prove my points. That's precious. That's really good.
It is. And you waste so much energy arguing. It's not even a good way to spend your time.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start arguing and trying to demonstrate to somebody that you're correct, people switch off. They're like, no, I have my reasons for thinking what I think. You haven't heard what I said. Or you say a whole sentence and somebody latches on to like one phrase and that's what they go off on. It's like, no, you're not even taking my full point of view under consideration. In the moment they see that there's no reciprocity in communication and listening, people switch off.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over.
And then we instead of walking together, we are walking like
apart.
Apart.
You're pulling apart.
Yeah.
Or pushing. It's like,
yeah.
No, you're there, you're there.
I remember one exercise we're doing this week that there were two people, we have loads of exercise, like practical exercises. And then we have two people arguing about a shop, so a commercial dispute. And then in the end, the person who was playing the mediator had this insight, like, okay, we have something in common, because they had an agreement, a small agreement in the whole context. And it was so nice the way that person was like, okay, but we have something in common here, so you agreed this, and you also agreed that. So let's focus on it.
Common ground.
Exactly. That's
exactly
amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's really like a small miracle that we can do that,
yeah.
And how contentious human beings can be.
Sure.
But it's brilliant that we are. The other thing that we wanted to talk about was mental health and how mental health causes major struggle in terms of adapting anywhere. Do you feel like mental health issues started to creep in your life more living abroad, or has it been something that's been on and off part of your life?
No, yeah, living abroad, 100%, 100%. Maybe because, as I said, I was in my comfort zone, so I didn't have to think about loads of things that I have to think
about
here.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm concerned. I'm not actually concerned, but like now I have to, yeah. Very relaxed.
So the anxiety that you experienced here is something that you didn't really deal with
No,
when you're back home?
I didn't. Because I have this like financial security, you know, like a good job. I was not rich, but
yeah.
a good job. And like holidays, paid holidays and everything. I can't remember last time I had 1 month holiday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because we're in college, of course we don't have a month.
Exactly.
In the summer we have to work.
Yeah.
And in the winter we're working part-time, so we can make it. It's very intense. It's
mm-hmm.
Like, ah, sure.
But I'm always talking with my friends about mental health, and I realized that it's something that many people, many immigrants have in common here. You know, anxiety, disconcern about the future.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to money, I'm aware about the housing crisis here in Ireland. You know, when it comes to housing, when it comes to money, it's a real concern. But on the other hand, what can we do? We have two options. We let go, we surrender, or we try to do something. If you have conditions, and if you have, like, if you can afford, for example, do therapy, or if you have, like, a group of friends you can talk to, I think it's very important, very, very important to go for it. Because when you step out of the comfort, out of your comfort zone, new challenges come.
Yeah.
So, brand new experiences. I remember 1 week I had €5, like.
For the whole week?
For the whole week.
Jeez. That's going to make you very industrious. You got to get very clever about the use of that £5.
Like, okay, I have €5. I have to pay my rent next week. What can I do? No. Thank God my mom doesn't understand it in English, because if she realizes I spend 1 week with €5, she's going to kill me.
She'd be very upset.
Why
did you call me?
But that's it. I have, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that there are people here living with less than that. I'm going to make it.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, once you're covered with your rent, and once you have a warm place to go to, and you have friends to rely on, you know you're going to have bread in the fridge, make yourself a sandwich. You'll survive. It'll suck.
Yeah.
It won't be great, but you'll survive.
Here I am.
Living abroad, I feel like in a lot of ways it's a testament to human resiliency, because you have to be resilient and find new ways of doing things that you took for granted before.
Yeah.
Because you're in a completely different context now.
Yeah.
It's usually just you. Most people don't move abroad with their full family. It's just you and your own, be it students or migrant workers.
And you know what? I think that it's very important that we're talking about this, because some people as well, they struggle, but they don't want anybody to know that they're struggling.
Oh no, we've all struggled.
Yeah.
And we are all still struggling, like, seriously.
Exactly. And there's no harm on asking for help. You know, we are all in the same situation. And I think it's important for us to share this, as we said, as we talked the other day. when you realize there are people in the same situation as you, you feel that you don't feel lonely anymore. Yeah. And you also can exchange experiences. Okay, so what do you do in this situation?
Happen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this? Have you ever been faced with that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great.
What's been one of the things that you had to deal with that you wish you had somebody to talk to, but you didn't at the time?
Okay, so anxiety is one of them. I didn't actually, back in Brazil, I didn't actually know what was anxiety.
Okay.
Like, people are like, oh, I'm anxious. And I thought anxious was just like being anxious because you have a date.
Okay. Like a bit of nervousness.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Do you know? Yeah. That's interesting as well, because I was very active back in Brazil. So, of course, I had to work, I had to pay my bills, but I also had time to prioritize, like, going to the gym, doing my dance classes, you know, swimming. Yeah.
Physical.
Exactly. I had proper time for me on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So that's so important. And then when I arrived here, like, different schedules in the hospitality industry and everything, I just felt that I was kind of losing myself.
Yeah.
So
I had the same experience. Like, I had a full fitness routine in the United States before I came here for the first time. Then financial constraints came into place because I couldn't work straight away. Mm-hmm. I had to wait for my GNIB card. And so my physical routine, my interactions with my friend, like, everything had changed. I remember 2 months into living in Ireland, I was just in tears. I'm like, why did I move here from Chicago?
Oh my gosh.
That's how I felt. But in time it got better. But in the beginning, it's so hard.
And then, like, there is place for anxiety when you don't treat yourself right, when you don't go to the gym, whatever. Like, if you like going to the gym, it's just an example. Of course, you're going to be anxious. Of course, you're going to be, like,
Your brain is going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
What happened to my life?
So, yeah, anxiety is one of the things I wish I was more aware of it. Yeah. Cooking?
You still wish you're more aware of cooking.
It is important, right?
It's handy. And you can get yourself really good meals on the cheap.
Exactly.
When you know how to cook for yourself.
Yeah.
Versus getting the stuff from the shop.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you're going to give me some tips.
I will.
Afterwards.
I will.
Cool.
I should do like a cooking class, because I actually really like doing it now. I didn't before, but yeah, it grew on me out of necessity.
Yeah.
It's amazing the things that you can get used to out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
My knowledge of cars and repairing certain things in my cars has grown exponentially just from being broke.
Yes.
Like, I've had a mirror broken in my car and I bought the replacement part, but then I couldn't just unscrew it and put in the new mirror. I had to remove the entire side panel on the car. There were so many yokes, the handle that opens the door, that I had to displace and replace and assemble back together. I had an indicator relay go off and it was always going tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
So I had to remove that and replace it with a new one, which meant I had to take the entire dash out of my car, put all the pieces back together. And it's something not in a billion years would I ever thought I could or would do. But when you're broke and you need it sorted, YouTube, God bless YouTube, because guys love to put a camera on themselves as they're fixing things.
Yes.
And then you can learn it that way. You learn through observation and you just freaking do it.
That's awesome. Amazing.
But you never realize how self-reliant you can be until you have the pressure of having to get things done yourself.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, though.
It is. I know it can sound a bit like, what's the word, not humble.
Yes.
But I was just talking to a friend like two days ago, and I told him, look, I really feel I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I am in the stage of life, like, if I want something,
I
can get it done. And that's so good.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with time, maturity, and also experience. Being exposed to things that really put you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, and loads of tears.
And loads of tears and laughter.
Tears and laughter.
That was my thing. Like, when I went through like a severely depressed phase in 2015 before I started university. That's when I was just finishing my relationship with Cluster B. That's what I call my psycho ex.
Mm.
At some stage, I'll talk about this in the podcast.
I like the nickname.
But I was really, really down. And comedy got me through it. Just watching videos with stand-up comics, just making fun of the horrible and terrible things of life. And I'm like, this is actually making me feel better. And like laughter really, really healed me to the point where I didn't feel so miserable all the time. But I was just at a stage where I couldn't get out of bed.
And did you come up with your own jokes now?
I do it on the side. Like, I've never said them publicly, and I might go to an open mic at the International at some stage.
I would love to hear it.
But I do actually like to write a little bit of what I think is it's comedy to me. Maybe other people are like, oh my God, this woman is so fucked up. But, you know.
I can see yourself having your own show on Netflix and everything. Like,
my gonna be nice. Ireland.
Exactly.
Speaking of things that were different before, you lost a bit of the dance when you moved here, but you got back into it.
Yeah.
And you found it a very healing thing. Talk about that.
I didn't even know I was so passionate about dancing, to be honest. So I just realized when I had nothing, when I was like just going to English school and then going to work, I didn't even, like, I didn't want to go to parties, you know, like it was not being satisfying, you know, going to parties, drinking, and then going to work and then going to English school. And one friend of mine, her name is Karen. We are from the same hometown.
In Brazil?
In Brazil. Okay. But we just met here in Dublin.
Okay.
It was a coincidence. So it was like, oh, I'm from Bauru. I was like, oh, I'm from Bauru too. Like, no way. She used to do gymnastics there, and I used to dance. And then we are BFFs, as the young people say. We are BFFs. And she invited me to go to this class with Bummy. She's a wonderful woman. She's living now in England. She left her job, a good job at Google, to become a twerk teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Did you just say twerk?
Twerk. Yes. Twerk.
I love it.
That's what we do. We twerk. So, Bumi is so... She's amazing. So, she brought... us together. She brought women. She actually brings women together, and her motto is like, it's a non-judgmental zone. And if you feel like you want to twerk, if you feel like you want to feel sexy or whatever, you know, we don't have to be concerned about what people think. And especially when it comes to dance, I've done some ballet, I've done some jazz, I've done some contemporary, but there's something that really, you know, goes into my heart, which is Afro, any kind of Afro dance, and that includes twerk and includes Brazilian funk as well. And there are some moves that people think, oh, that's sensual moves and everything. And
what's wrong with sensual?
That's the thing.
What's wrong with sensual people?
That's the thing. Like, we have been when I tell we, like, women who wants to shake their booties.
Yeah, do
that's
it.
That's it. Do it.
Fantastic.
I remember I was in Brazil and I was working as a journalist. I remember being judged because I went to this Brazilian funk party, and then people are like, "Oh, you don't do that." Like, that's
why. It's you, great crap.
Yeah. You don't do that. I was like, hey, why not? It feels good. Because we have, especially in Brazil, we are a very sexist country. We have in our minds that if you do something, if you do these kind of movies, oh, you're not going to get married. It's not for you. You know, that it's dirty.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so attached to many kinds of prejudices.
Yes. And being judgmental about human sensuality and female sensuality in particular.
Yeah.
And I really think this comes from the church and just being prudish in general. It's like you can't be in tune with your body because that's sensual, that's of the devil, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we have the pill. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course, guys. 2019, right?
Exactly. Relax.
And the other thing is that it's always seen, it's also seen as a permission. If you were twerking, or if you were shaking your booty, or if you were wearing a short skirt.
Oh, I hate that
argument. It's a permission. And yeah, it's not.
This is the thing. Okay, for any human being that says when a woman behaves or dresses provocatively, this is an invitation to be accosted or assaulted. No, this is an invitation to be seduced. You're saying, look at me. I'm in the zone. Show me what you got. I don't want to be assaulted. You know what I mean? Yes. I don't want anybody, you know, invading my space. But if you're sexy and you know it, come and show it. It's an invitation to do that dance, to do that flirty dance, that back and forth where people get to kind of show off to each other. It's not an invitation for violence, people. Like, that is mental.
Yeah, and sensuality is something that it's part of being a human being.
Absolutely.
You know, it's part of us. Sensuality is part of us.
Yeah.
So we don't have to repress that. But anyway, I went to this class and I was there twerking and I felt better immediately. Like, okay.
Were you a little bit down before you started class?
Okay. Yeah, a lot. Well, I was like, okay, I was about to go back to Brazil. Like, okay.
Oh, wow.
It's done.
Finish with this?
Yeah, it's done. Don't want this anymore. And eventually, Bummy, this amazing lady, she moved to London. And she's like, oh, do you know, I'm going to do a training because I really want to spread this. I want people to do that independently if I am here or not. So if you want to come to my training and become an instructor, it's like, yeah, love it. So I've done it and it's been amazing. Now I'm actually a bit upset that I'm not having time to dedicate myself.
Oh, I know, because college is back.
Yeah, but four weeks to finish this semester, and then probably I'm gonna do something
amazing.
And you'll be there, right?
I will absolutely be there. I'm
nice.
Gonna vote it all in the podcast.
Nice.
I really can't wait. So this has been a fantastic conversation.
Thank you
so much for joining me. And where can people find you in terms of like your classes? Is there a Facebook page or?
I am on Instagram. So it's Tati, T-A-T-I, and then Ponto, P-O-N-T-O, and Santos, S-A-N-T-O-S. I don't post that much, guys. I'm not an influencer.
But you will once you have the classes
exactly.
up and running. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
You can follow her on there and I'll have links in the show notes, as always. So thank you so much for sharing your journey.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to do something together in the future. I want to see you in my classes.
You will see me in your classes.
Yes.
I can't wait. That's one of the things that I bemoaned, and I think when I was being interviewed by Michael, is that because of the background that I had with my family, dancing was not allowed. So this is one of the things that I really want to get back into, because I think dancing is a part of life and it invigorates life.
It does.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you in class.
It's been a pleasure. You were an amazing person and inspirational. So our inspirational person.
Some words are trickier than others.
Yeah, and I'm very happy that we are connected now, sharing our histories. Thank you very much.
Cheers, and until the next journey, everyone. Ciao.
Ciao.